welcome to Everything Scary at 3 a.m. My name is John. With me, as always, is Mandy.
Hola.
And tonight, we're going to be watching something that looked a lot of... I enjoy it.
You look like you were going to have so much fun with this
movie. I like trains, and I like the defunct state of Yugoslavia. Well, not really, but I like talking about it sometimes. That's why we're going to be watching 1989's Beyond the Door 3. Now, this has actually got some weird pedigree now that I started looking into it. It is an Italian movie.
Oh.
But it is directed a guy from Los Angeles, Jeff Quinty, I want to say?
Sure.
Quinty. There we go. He is responsible for a short 1982's Illegal Alien. He did 1989's Iced, which is a bunch of friends want to set up a ski resort, but then somebody from their past is coming after them. And I was like, okay, that's interesting.
That just sounds like a hot tub time machine.
It does, but like more violent.
Yeah.
Like, it was a little weird. We also got Lightning in a Bottle from 1993, which actually had Linda Carter in it. Always weirded out to see Linda Carter in shows because she was the original 70s Wonder Woman.
Right.
But she was also apparently like really established with like tons of other stuff. She was apparently like a great singer, really good, like horseback rider, a whole bunch of stuff. Hmm. So she was like a big
thing.
So
she really was an Amazon.
She really was. But if that's not weird enough, the guy who directed this movie wrote multiple episodes for a bunch of cartoon shows. Things like Animaniacs, Street Sharks, Mummies Alive, Hysteria. Just a whole bunch of stuff from like that mid-90s, 1995, 1998 time frame.
Wow.
Yeah, really odd to me. We also got Sheila Goldberg was the one who wrote this one. She did 1987's Stage Fright, 1988's Top Model, and 1986's Choke Canyon, which I actually did watch the trailer for that one because I wanted to know what it was, but it wasn't actually the trailer. It was like a section of the movie, which I'm really getting fucking tired of that shit because I know somebody made a trailer at one point. But Choke Canyon is starring a guy. I had to look up his name, but I'm going to start calling him this. It's Stephen, I can't believe it's not Mark Hamill, Collins. Because he looks exactly like Mark Hamill did in The Giver from like 89, 90, 92. I don't even remember when he was in that one. But I was just like, what? And it's apparently about this cowboy trying to stop the greedy corporations from dumping toxic waste on his land. And I was like, yeah, just... add in some kids trying to dance to save the community center, and it's Breaking Two, Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited about that one. Interestingly enough, she did two other movies which have a lot in common with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
She did 1988's Ghost House and Zombie 5, Killing Birds, which is also from 88. And they're both in-name-only sequels, technically, because mm-hmm. Ghost House isn't even... involved with anything. It's only La Casa 3 outside of America, which I think was the Evil Dead series.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Zombie, which was, it may have also been, I don't even remember that one. That may have been the Living Evil Dead, but I can't remember. It's just, it's all over the goddamn place. They just kept adding more fucking movies to random shit. This one has birds on it, and the sad part is the only, like theatrical poster I can find of it
mm-hmm.
is like the DVD rip that somebody made like now. So it's just like, it looks like Birdemic, but serious.
Oh, wow.
That's really weird. So yeah, no, she's responsible for a couple other things. Now you're sitting there, you're listening to me say all those things. You're like, but I thought you said it was an Italian movie. Well, this movie was actually produced by the same guy who made The Curse from 87, the one that we watched, that terrible ass movie, and he was Italian making this an Italian movie.
Ah.
Yeah, that was episode 202 if anybody's counting.
Oh, okay.
Which they should be. You should be counting. There will be a test later.
No, there won't. You're passing all hundreds. Yay.
Completely just must you in front of the viewers. Anyway, you do the next one.
So this is actually starring Mary Connert, who her claim to fame is three episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, one episode of Freddy's Nightmares, one episode of Highway to Heaven, and she was Carnation in 1986's Valley Girls.
That one was, it's basically what you think it is.
I was about to say Valley Girls, but I said Val. I had to correct myself.
No, and it's funny because I watched the trailer for that one. It's like, Valley Girls? Like, everyone's like, what? Oh, yeah, these girls are partying. And, of course, that was... I couldn't find the trailer for that one, but I did find the promo on Channel 50 for it. That's how weird and off-putting that movie must be.
Weird.
We also got Bo Svenson in it. He was Dr. Etheridge from episode 187's Primal Rage. Oh, so he's the doctor guy. Yeah. He is also in 1989's Curse 2, The Bite, as a sheriff. So he's technically connected to the last movie that we also watched on that one. And this poor son of a bitch was Kor in Wizards of the Lost Kingdom from 1985. Now, the funny thing about that one is it was one of the only good riffs that they did for the newer riff tracks, not the season 14, but the season 13 stuff. Mm-hmm. But I watched that movie for years on TBS when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what it was fucking called, and I could never find the damn thing. And I only watched like the first chunk of it because it would come on like Saturday morning, like right when it was like, and then my mom's like, we need a vacuum. You need a vacuum now. I'd be like, no, I want to watch the movie. He's like, no, fuck that. Watch the movie. I was like, all right, cool. And so I had to vacuum the whole time. And of course, I never got to watch it again because somebody would change the channel and then it would end up on Golf. Anyway.
Okay. Well, does that mean that we're going to have to get it now? Because that's like your childhood core memory.
Absolutely not. Okay, because good. I finally did finish the movie without the riffs and it's terrible.
Oh, okay.
We also have Victoria Zinni in this one. This is really interesting. This woman has been doing movies for forever. Some of the oldest movies, I think the oldest movie that she was ever in is 1961's Viridiana, which has like an 8.3. It's apparently like this amazing movie. She's from Argentina. The guy who made it was Spanish and he actually got exiled for 20 years.
Wow.
When he was trying to make, yeah, so like that was like the first thing. He was like, yes, I'm going to make this movie now. And then she was in Star Crash from 1978, which I love that movie because it has Caroline Monroe in it, and everybody who sees anything should love Caroline Monroe. But she was also in, so she was in 2019's The Unfinished Portrait, which had a 9.3 on IMDb.
Wow.
But she was in something last year. It was just, I think, either Spanish or Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe German because it said die on there. And I assume every time I see die, I have to remember that it's the in German.
Ah. And not die.
Yeah. Well, I know that because of Sideshow Bob in The Simpsons. It's like, no, the Bart the is what it means.
Oh my god. All right. So anyway, other than learning, okay, so you learned your German from
I learned The Simpsons. Everything from TV shows.
I learned,
that's the problem.
I learned my Spanish from the movie Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser.
Hey, it's perfect. If that's the one phrase that we can remember,
hola,
that'll
mucho gusto. Mi amo Elliot. Yeah.
So I'm excited about this movie. This one's gonna be on Shudder. I think even Joe Bob did a thing. So if you want to see somebody else do, even more in depth on this one, you can watch the Joe Bob episode of it or not. I only want to watch this because of the train. So I'm going to be watching this one.
Yeah. And
apparently I'm evil trains.
So excited. Yay.
What? Don't hate on the, like, there aren't enough evil train movies. There's evil movies that take place on trains, but have nothing to do with trains being evil.
Well, let's see how this one goes.
So we will.
I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll pause it. And we'll go ahead and check it out.
We'll be right back.
A group of Californian students studying Eastern European history are about to embark on a journey into another world. A land of superstition and living hell.
Anybody speak English?
A journey into fear. They escape for their lives on an old train pulled by an evil force, headed towards the door of hell. And one by one, are led into a string of macabre deaths. Beverly is now designed to be the chosen one. Her destination is the most frightening event of all. The Passion Play. The coronation as the Princess of Darkness.
And we're back. I had a lot of fun with this movie.
I am so glad you did.
Like, they spent a lot of money on tiny models of things.
Yes.
It was the funniest damn thing. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of dumb. Oh my god, so much dumb. And it starts out with the best part, which is a bunch of people. I guess this is the whole point of them doing this in Yugoslavia, was so that they had just a shit ton of, like, random people that could be walking around. And they gave them all rocks. Now, I've got to warn you about this movie before we start off. Was if you've got, like, a really good sound system or not a great sound system, either way, be careful when they start doing this little clackety-clack thing, like they're snapping these two pieces of rock. I guess they couldn't afford coconuts, because then it would have sounded like, you know, the horse walking around. Mm-hmm. Clack, 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 clack. Anyway, but they did not, they didn't, but they're slapping these two rocks together, and it starts getting, like, there's like a pulse in the air. We had a problem with it, right? It was enough air movement that it was causing us to have, like, ear problems.
Yeah, like ear pressure. Yeah. It was weird.
It was really
weird. I'm actually really glad that you were experiencing that, too, because I was like, am I just overreacting? Like, this is starting to make my head hurt.
It was terrible. But we get these just old people standing, being all weird. I guess they're normal people from Yugoslavia because they had, like, pancake makeup and dark eye. They looked like the brain guy from Mystery Science Theater. They had that, like, or the dead people from Carnival of Souls.
I feel like they look like Boris Karloff in The Mummy.
Yes. Okay, that kind of vibe. Yeah. Where it's like the dark makeup on the outside and the pancake makeup on the inside. It was weird. And then we get introduced to a teacher who looks exactly like Lilith from Frasier. And she's like, oh my god, it's so great that you guys are going to be able to go to Yugoslavia for $800. And I'm like, $800 American in 1989-ish? Seven? When was this movie?
I don't remember when it was made, but yeah, that's...
Like, that's a lot of money. Like, I think you could get to, like, didn't, yeah, 89. Didn't, Joe Bob at one point say he was going to like Amsterdam for like $45 and be able to fly over there real quick or something.
I have
like
no
that.
Idea.
Like, that's a lot of money. Like, and where was the money going? Because they are immediately picked up by Svensson. It was Bo Svensson. Who's like, hello, children. It's a pleasure to meet. You know, and I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
So apparently he's a professor.
Oh, but we also... We had that weird, awkward nudity part.
There was a lot of awkward parts in this movie.
Yeah, but not a lot of them were nudity parts. Because if you had to cut that portion, you wouldn't know what the hell was going on. The girl has a birthmark on her, but it's not a birthmark. It is like the entire stomach mark. Like somebody branded this girl, or it wasn't even branding. It was like somebody took a Sharpie and like drew on this girl. But yeah. They drew like...
And it was like two little flames.
It was like, what was it? It was like
a big flame and a little flame.
Like a crappy fireball. They're like, look, this is what the fireball looks like.
Yeah.
And we're coloring it in red. And of course, we're introduced to her in the shower when her mom opens the door. And we're like, okay, well, she's in the shower. Obviously, she doesn't have the shower curtain open. You know, this is just, you know, the camera guy is being able to see her stomach while she's in the shower like this, right? No. Mom starts trying to talk to her in Serbian, and she's like, Mom, I'm trying to take a shower, and then she pulls the curtain closed.
Which I'm like, why the fuck are you taking a shower with the curtain open? That doesn't even make any sense. You are getting water everywhere in the restroom, and you are a total asshole.
I assume that that's what her mom was saying in Serbian before it, and then she was like, hey, honey, I just wanted to be sweet to you and let you know that,
I can help you pack.
She's just like, F you, Mom. I hope you burn in a fire. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Bev.
She's very moody. And she's not a moody teenager. She is a moody 30-year-old.
She's like a Karen who, like, didn't get her coffee at the Starbucks like, all the time.
Every single one of the teenagers in this movie. Or I maybe they're supposed to be college students.
I guess. But then they, like, live in Burbank, California, I guess. It was weird.
They're old. They're all old. They all look old.
Really old.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised at how old the jocks. There's like three or four jocks. One of the guys looks younger, but he looks like younger as in he's 20. Yeah. Everybody else looks like they're 30.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
It was interesting casting for this one.
It's at that point where we get our first kill of the movie. Is after
well, we take a boat, right? Don't we ride on the boat?
Or we don't even get to that point. That's yeah. Right. So right. It's so weird. So the mom is following behind Beverly this entire time. Beverly's such an ass. She's like basically telling her mom to fuck off six or seven times.
Yeah.
Until her mom is like, "Hey, here's this book that your dad had. It's written, it's in the same place that, you know, your dad was from. You know, it was written down there. And you're going to go there. So it's going to be great. Have a great one. And that, like, other than that point, like, that was the one point that she's just like, I love you, Mom. Not...
Even then, though, she was still kind of an asshole about it. Oh,
shut up, Mom. They're not my friends, Mom. God, I hate you. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then she gets killed by traffic, I guess. It's normal LA traffic.
Final Destination style of death.
She did get Final Destination. And it was like... a bad funnel. Like, she got caught in the neck with a steel beam that fell through the car.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And that's when we're taken to Yugoslavia with a Yugo. Like, a beat-down, nasty-looking Yugo right in front of the Yugoslavian airport. And then that's when we're introduced to Svensson. He's like, ah, yes, everybody, be cool. And then...
we're going on this boat.
All on boat. Don't worry. It's all great. And then he gets followed around. There's a lot of little people in this movie, which I assumed it was trying to be like, is that like a thing? Like, it was trying to put people off? It reminded me a lot, actually, of Howling 2. Your sister is a werewolf. Or Sierra Wolf, Werewolf Bitch, which was the actual version of it.
Nah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, like, okay. It just had, like, random bits where, like, we had a whole bunch of, like, just random people in the mountains just being creepy. Like we have in this movie.
I mean, they were definitely super creepy.
We have a whole bunch of... we have a random little person for no reason. Several little people for no reason. And which, you know, I understand, but I feel like everybody wearing the hat had to be there.
Yeah.
Which they all had, like, a fez on, which I would not have associated with Yugoslavia. Maybe that's a thing.
And all the women had wraps. They were all wrapped.
And unfortunately, Beverly misses the telegram, which was Mom dead, funeral Tuesday, you know, kind of thing. It was really short. Details to follow. Svensson, at this point, he's like, excellent. And he throws it overboard. So that's why there's crap in the Yugoslavian river, I assume. I don't know what river that would be. They paddle on out. They're on a boat.
Everyone treats Bev like shit.
Yeah, they mentioned that she's a virgin, and anytime,
and that she has the birthmark.
Yes, which means...
even though how the hell did they see her birthmark? She's not going around showing it off.
I guess the blonde girl, because we got a blonde, we got a brunette, we have three guys, four guys. Yeah. We got four guys because we got the two blonde guys and the other two guys. Which Angel and I think the other one was Richard. And then the two blonde guys that I could not tell apart. To the point where that was just like, the whole time I was just like, wasn't he the one who was nice to Ben?
I was having some trouble.
Like, what
with
happened
that,
yeah. There? It's like, I felt like both of them were going to fight the Gamma House or the Lambda Lambda Lambdas or something like that. Like, they were gonna, they're like, oh, shut up. They're gonna, one of them was gonna pants John Cusack before he could do the big ski down the mountain, you know, type deal. These guys were the bad guys from 80s movies.
Which, technically, they're the bad guys in this movie, but not really?
Kinda, I guess. Because Svensson immediately takes Bev after she tries to... you gotta understand, the lady who's playing Bev, this entire time, anytime somebody says anything about her or to her, she stares at them. But she doesn't have, like, eyebrows. So it looks like she's trying to go scanners on their ass, like, the whole time. Like, you just, she's like trying to, I'm going to make your head explode, like, the whole time. And then she got huffy and ran away. Svensson followed her and was like, don't worry, please, I hug. And she was like, yes, Svensson, you do hug. Thank you.
There's a lot of weird freaking movie, or weird parts in this movie. Like, that part made me uncomfortable because I was like, okay, he's obviously, in this movie, he's supposed to be way, way older than her. Like, it's weird that all this shit is happening. He just, like, goes into, like, this young person's room and then decides to hug them.
I think he was supposed to be a Aleister Crowley kind of thing, like, where he was timeless type deal.
Mm.
So, I think no matter what, it was just kind of weird. We are introduced to the main, like, conceit of this, like, the plot point of this movie, where it's, like...
if you can call it a plot point.
Obviously, here is a virgin woman sacrifice. It's a passion play, but instead of having Jesus, it's about some lady who gets killed. That's it. And I was like, Ah.
And of course she's a virgin.
Of course she is. We know she's a virgin. Because Richard said so.
Yes. And everyone's like, oh, it's obviously Bev. Because Bev is a big virgin and has this giant birthmark on her stomach that looks like these pins that we're passing out.
And nothing came up with the pin after that either. Mm-mm. Like, nobody said anything about the pins. Like, I guess they immediately threw them away or something like that?
I guess.
Ah. But we are then, like...
And then we get to the town, right?
Yes. He takes a boat, and that's when, like, Svensson is, like, walking around. And this is the part that reminded me so much of Howling 2. Because in Howling 2, they get stopped by, like, people who are staring at them. They're like, he's the woman. She was hit by a car. And that was, like, the whole time I just assumed that one of them was going to say something. Or they'd be, like... dancing or trying to sing something or something like when everybody showed up. But like, these were clearly the extras that came from the area because they were all confused as to what all these like pretty Americans were doing. And they were all wearing pancake makeup. So they looked super pale.
Very.
And that's when we're introduced to the creepy old witch lady who's wearing some kind of plastic on the inside of her eyes. Svensson takes Beverly into her own little, like, it's an actual house. Like, compared to everybody else who were in these weird hutches, like chicken hutches.
Yeah.
That was what I was kind of reminded of.
Oh, yeah.
That are covered in, like, they're made out of poop, I guess. Like, it's like poop and mud. Like, we just made these out of the poop and mud today. Yes, don't worry. We
fresh
put you
poop.
In them.
Fresh poop.
And everybody's just, like, cool with it. Like, and all I sat there was thinking, you know, like, what did my $800 pay for in this situation? Why am I staying in the poop house?
It was the ticket. Your $800 bought the ticket.
Yeah, in 87 money? Jesus Christ. But that's what they do. They all six of the kids, the soon-to-be dead folk, get into the different hutches. And I guess they fall asleep because then the townspeople go out and mark them so that they're safe for Passover. With the chicken blood coming out of the thing, I thought that was hilarious. I was like, that's so the spirit of God doesn't come in and steal the firstborn.
Although technically, you know, they're trying to kill all of them, so that is not what they're going for.
Well, they just drew an H on the outside of it in like chicken blood. They're like, ha-ha, chicken blood.
I thought it was a pound sign.
Oh, it might have been a pound sign.
I thought it was like a number. Like,
they're like, hashtag, you know, Yugoslavia forever.
Hashtag death.
Yes, you forgot to like us on Yelp. You get the hashtag of death now. And then they locked them in by... My favorite part is they put two pieces of wood on the outside, banged them in with old, old, old school nails. And then some of the doors opened inward.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the funniest damn thing
and
in the entire world.
Nobody used them, though, that way.
No, nobody could pull that open. That was they're locked. We can't do anything with it. Meanwhile, Svensson has taken Bev inside of the creepy old lady's house. The creepy old lady is creepy.
And then they drug her. She goes to sleep.
She
and then she gets fondled.
She gets...
She has a pap smear from an old blind lady.
Apparently she's a licensed gynecologist. So she was just checking things down there.
Ugh.
Which was, from what we understand, to make sure that Bev was still a virgin. At that point. And I guess she can do it by touch. Which, you know, she's blind, so
she's
maybe it's
like,
one of those sensitivity things.
I can feel that cherry.
Diddly diddly. And that's when the fire starts. Svensson goes out to a cube in a... Oh my god, I just realized that this entire movie didn't go anywhere. Like, literally, from that point on, it didn't go anywhere. Like, literally, it went back around.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because they were on that train for forever.
For 2 hours.
But... Yes, at this point, it's only like, oh, it is 2 hours, isn't it? It's fairly long.
Yeah,
94 minutes.
Yeah.
So, hour
like
and a half.
2 hours.
So, Svensson goes out to the cube, stares at the cube, and then puts out his walking stick, which I don't know what he's supposed to be doing with that walking stick, but, like, sometimes he, like, indicates at it, so I think it means something, but I'm not quite sure. And that's when the fire lights. We lose Ricardo at this point. Richard, Ricardo, I can't remember which one his name was. But he died. He didn't technically die. About halfway through the flames, he got turned into a mannequin. And then he burned. So I think he may have died at the mannequin point. Or maybe he was just teleported to the mannequin realm. Or maybe it was like the movie Mannequin and people just stopped believing in him or something like that. But at that point, too, the blonde guys get out. So does the blonde girl, Angel, who later on is one of my favorite deaths because it was the stupidest one.
They're all
and No. My favorite ones are in here, too, because there was some hilarious shit later on. But then we got, so it was the two blonde guys, the two girls, Angel, and then that's when Beverly wakes up and then runs outside with a blanket on. And I don't remember if she ever got pants back somehow.
I don't know.
They run through the woods, and that's when they hear the train. The train was a-coming, so they jump onto the train, except for the blonde girl who couldn't make it. She tripped and fell.
She tripped twice.
She, and that was pretty funny, she biffed it that first time. Like,
I think that was an accident.
Yeah, that didn't look like a oopsie poodles. Like, she ate the fucking ground at that point. She's always going to carry that piece of Yugoslavia with her.
And they're going to be like, oh man, you did such a good job. Here, do it again. Ba-boom.
So, one guy decides, so one of the blonde guys, that's the problem, because I can't tell which one it was. I thought it was, and you thought it was too, the same guy who was very nice to Bev at the very beginning. So I thought it was going to be the love interest.
Yeah, it was not.
It was not. And I guess he wasn't the guy who was nice to Beverly. Because he jumps off the train.
I think he was the guy who was nice to Beverly. But you think so? Still, but he still jumped just off the train. Okay. Yeah.
So he goes He's back nice to save the blonde. But unfortunately, he breaks a leg. He and the blonde are alone now. And Bev and the rest of the crew get into the train. Inside the train, they're hanging out. Nobody speaks English except for the...
conductor.
Or no, it's a ticket guy. The tickets, please, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he...
They called him the conductor, I thought.
The conductor does die, though. He was the guy who gets out of the thing. Oh, he's like, I can't walk to the side.
Okay.
they get out. No, so they get inside there. They start talking to the guy. The guy doesn't speak English until the girl comes up and starts... Beverly starts talking to him in Serbian. And that's when he starts speaking English.
He's like, oh, shit. You wanted me to speak English.
I was going to go ahead and just blow you guys off, but...
I'll help you.
This one speaks enough of my language to know that I'm talking shit.
Here, come on into this room, and you'll see a random flute player.
By the way, there is no subtitles on the version that we're watching.
So for Shudder.
Yeah, so if you can find some... the best part is that when I try to find subtitles for it, it literally says, speaking in a foreign language.
And you're like, that's nice. What are they saying?
Neat. And a good chunk of this is actually in, like, Serbian. So, you know, especially all of the shit that's happening with the Serbian, like...
with the train, like train conductor groups,
like trying to stop the train later on.
And they're like, where's it going? We don't know, because you won't speak English.
And nobody really knows what's happening on there, including the ticket guy, because he's sitting there going like, ah, yes, 7 hours and 35 minutes later is when I'll be able to let you guys off, and you can talk to the cops then. Your friends are probably going to die, but whatever, I'm going to go ahead and eat this bread in a very weird way.
So many awkward moments in this. And then there's that weird flute guy.
Yep, flute guy. Flute guy, don't worry.
Who played the equivalent of Kenny G.
And it was
Had no breath.
On the penny whistle. And he was like...
And he played for a good solid, like, few minutes.
And, like, the whole time everybody was fucking talking. And he's just like... And I'm like, okay, cool. And then stop.
And then it still kept going.
Please stop. Nope, we're not going to stop. We're just going to keep going. This is where we get into the long, stretchy part of the movie, which doesn't really need to happen, but it does. We see the train. So, the train is indwelt by the demons. We know that it is because at night, there is fire that goes across the train tracks. Maybe he's not the conductor, he's the engineer. So, the engineer and the stoker get out. The engineer gets out. The stoker is sitting there wondering what the hell is going on. But the engineer gets out. He starts looking... I don't know train stuff very well.
I don't know.
But he's looking down at the flame in front of the train. And through the fires, he sees somebody wearing, obviously, fireproof stuff. But
and a scarf.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a dark shadow or something
there
like that.
There is a random scarf, though.
We do know... Yeah, the scarf is there because the scarf climbs through one of the train rails and like wraps around the guy's leg, and then the train starts moving. Well, it's a very long, like, scarf. Like, the guy is able to pull at least 6 feet away from the train's, like, cowcatcher before anything happens. But he doesn't move to either side of the train
track. He just stays where he is and goes further down the tracks. And you're like, that's not going to help, though.
It reminded me of Austin Powers.
No! And he screams for, like, 5 minutes.
And the engineer, at the same time, is trying to shut everything off. But the boiler opens up. The fire grate opens up. And I guess they're doing this weird thing where, you know, they tip the camera on its end and it looks like he's getting sucked into the grate.
Yeah.
But like,
looks like he's gonna eat.
It looks like he's getting actually burned. Like, I felt really bad for him because he looked like he was not having a great time with it.
There was a lot of parts in this where I was like genuinely concerned that somebody actually may have gotten hurt.
And I think that's because they're like, no, we'll just lower you in here. Yes, there'll be fire. And then it's like, oh yeah, well, heat rises. So the guy is getting his shit cooked off right now. Like, please, just let him fall into the thing. It's like, nope, just can't have him do that.
Yep, sorry, we're just going to have to slowly drag you away.
Ow, shit. Meanwhile, the cowcatcher completely just smooshes the guy to the point where his head, like, explodes off his body.
It was like a tube of toothpaste, kind of.
And it was very much a mannequin. Again, everything gets turned into mannequins, which I just loved it.
The one that was super obvious for me, though, was the guy, the last blonde guy at the end.
That was
super obvious.
But, so the mannequin gets the head crushed to the side by the cowcatcher, which is the width of the train track rails, which I worry about that, but, you know, sure, why not? And the engineer is dead, and now Beverly goes into the conductor. She goes into the engine for some reason. And then she has the weirdest talking sequence ever.
With, I guess, the what's his name? Spencen? Spencen. And so he's basically telling her, like, you are going to marry the devil. Congratulations. Super happy for you. But all these people have to die on the train. And she's like, no, you can't. They're my friends. And he's like, they treat you like shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? You're right. They do.
I do love the part where it's like they are expendable. No, please don't kill them. No, they have to die. I was like,
then they're,
okay.
Yeah, then they're not expendable. or they're not
they're sacrifices at that point.
Yeah, they are expendable.
They're not expendable. They're required to die now.
Oh yeah.
We need them to die. They're sacrifices for my dark master.
Yeah.
And of course, this is all being yelled at her over, I guess, the like a drainage tube effect where it sounds like something's like shaking the whole time.
And it's like going through like a voice recorder thing, so everyone's voice is like three times.
It's worked over. Really weird.
It's weird. And it's
unfortunately
bad.
It's Beverly doing the same thing. And then Beverly gets to see her mom. I think this is her actual mom. And she is in white with bald hair. I didn't understand the bald mom with the white pancake makeup and the white dress.
And having a goat baby.
Yeah, I assume it was like a, you know, one of those Shub-Niggurath kind of things. Like, where it's like the black young of the forest has been birthed by the whore of Babylon or some BS, but I was like, I don't know where this is going.
I don't know. It was weird.
And then, like, immediately it just ends, and then we go back to...
And then we can just automatically assume that Bev is evil, because after that, all hell breaks loose, and she's killing people left and right, and it's just, it's awful.
We also get introduced to Sveta?
Sveta? Yeah, Sveta. Something like that.
Which is a lady who is stealing shit.
Yeah, she's just a thief. A random ass thief.
Who is very resourceful. And then this is also our first cut in of the, oh no, there's something bad happening here. We don't know what's happening. Let's go ahead and find out. Because the train blows right past any kind of stop.
Yeah.
So nobody can stop there.
And there is a full hour.
Yeah.
When we are on the train.
So...
Watching it blow through shit.
So,
and that's it.
We keep watching people try to stop the train. The train will not stop at this point. I'm not going to get into the weird shit that the train does do, because there's some fun stuff.
Did do.
But I will get to the point what everybody else tries to do, which is they try to derail the train by taking the rails away. That didn't stop it. They tried to, I guess, switch a couple of things. That didn't stop it. There was a train in front of them, and they were trying to stop the train from hitting it. So they reversed the train, but unfortunately, the train got a little bit more speed at that point and was able to destroy the other train.
Oh, they also did the semis full of gas. Oh, yes,
the semis full of gas. Yeah, none of that stopped the train, because the train don't give a fuck. At this point, the train is murder, and the murder is the train. Meanwhile, we see the blondes, the blonde guy, the blonde girl, walking through. Blonde guy has broken his leg after falling off the back of the train. And he's stumping around. They're stumping around in the water. And, of course, she keeps going into the water. It looks like they're going 5 feet behind everything. But you have to understand, at this point, the train has been going for at least an entire night.
Yes.
It has had at least, because we saw it in the sunlight, so it had at least, like, what, 8-10 hours or something to darkness while they were driving. And we see Bev now, not giving a shit. She is totes okay with people getting murdered, because she sees the brunette mouths off to her, right?
Yeah, the brunette mouths off to her, she slaps her in the face, the brunette runs away, starts talking to her boyfriend about how, does he love her, is she pretty, tell me how pretty I am. And then she kisses him, and then his face gets all wormy.
Yeah, there were maggots over everything, and it was actually not a bad sequence.
That was
kind of cool, though, because it was like an animatronic skull under everything, so her face, lips, and mouth were still moving, and she was like peeling the skull like crap that off of one side.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. It looked pretty awesome. It also kind of reminded me of From Beyond with the little worm coming directly out of the forehead.
Yes, that's what it made me think of, too. Okay. It's your... Okay, this is nice. What does he call it? Pituitary gland. Yes. Yeah,
it was the pituitary gland has gotten... It's gotten really engorged at this point, lady, because she got excited. She just kind of peels off, and then her boyfriend walks back in. I don't think he ever said anything to anybody about her dying.
Yeah, about her ripping her face off? Yeah. No. Because at this point, this is whenever the train goes off the tracks.
That's right. The train decides that it's tired of people's shit. So it, somehow, things are getting moved around. Now, the best part is that the train tracks that are kind of moving off to the side every time are clearly model train tracks.
Yes.
Clearly. And, like...
And the train itself is a model.
Aquarium gravel and stuff like that. But what the train does is go into the swamp. It has somehow doubled back around and is aiming for the blonde girl and the blonde guy.
Yes.
Who have, like...
For some reason.
Finally gotten... They were inside of a hutch for a while. Then they got into a boat, and they're inside the boat. And then somehow the train went back to where they were and slams into them. It is the funniest shit in the entire world.
You don't see anything happen to the guy. I loved it. But the girl's head just pops off like a Pez dispenser.
And then for some reason, Bev has it. She's holding it.
Yes.
And I guess getting dripped on by the severed head.
Yep.
Was where she was like, I can't do this anymore. She walks into the area where the angel, the blonde guy, and Svenna, who is now their friend, who is kind of explaining, she's just a weird thief lady. And I guess everybody else got off the train. I don't remember what happened to them.
They all died.
Yeah, I assume. But they're just kind of chilling. Svenna has been opening up shotgun shells. I don't know where she got those, but she's putting them onto a thing. She's like a pizza box or something like that. the flute playing guy is just like tootly toot toot in the corner.
Yep.
Bev walks in and she's like, hey, I killed everybody. It's my fault. And y'all are gonna die too.
I'm evil. It's not my fault.
I done killed myself. So she shows her wrists and then...
That's it. Nothing else is ever brought up about her cutting her wrist. We never bring about
the cut off the wrist, because that's when everything gets derailed and then like the classical music starts playing and everybody's freaking out. So all the gunpowder that Svenna has had, like she's been taking out of the shotgun shells.
That was right before they hit them on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the shotgun shells are like, is going everywhere.
Yes.
But apparently, I guess they just scooped it back together.
I guess it all landed in a very nice, neat little pile wherever she could scoop it back up later.
And, like, I guess we don't even, like, try to do anything about that. Like, it's just like, oopsie poodle, I guess we're going to go ahead and do that. I guess the Yugoslavian train authority is really working hard to try to stop this thing to no avail. It's at this point that they're like, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and set a bomb. I guess it was on the coupling to the coal tender or something like that.
Like from the engine. Yeah.
And they're like, hey, if we blow that up, then we'll be fine. But they couldn't. So
Svedek is actually stuck outside with the bomb, and I guess she just explodes. Well,
so we have two more deaths now, because we have the blonde guy who tries to get another train, but he gets cut in half by, I guess it was kind of, he got cut in half the way that people got cut in half at the very beginning of Ghost Ship, where the chain just went straight, and he suddenly like lost his lower half.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
His upper half was turned into that of a mannequin that is like waving at her still. So before falling on the track.
It was so bad.
And then they're trying to get up to the front of the train engine, and that's when Angel like gets out and he's like, "Help!" Like he had the weird, I don't know if he was like Yahoo or was he unhappy about it.
I think Sveta died first and then Angel died. No?
Nope.
Huh.
Sveta watches Angel die because Sveta and Bev are at the front of the train engine, but Angel gets killed by the crossing arm.
Yes.
And then Sveta's like, well...
Was that your favorite one?
That was my favorite one. It was the stupidest reason. Like, he didn't need to do it. It didn't need to happen. He could have been on top of the coal tender.
Like,
could have been anywhere.
Crazily.
Like, help! Or something like... I don't know if it was like he was scared or he was like, yee-haw! But he gets skewered by this crossing rail. Like, it's like, no, I'm going to, and it angles. The best part is that we get to see from the camera, like, we get to see the post's point of view as it angles in towards the train, misses the two blondes at the front, and then skewers the one guy who's just like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
That's when Svenna sees the other train further down, and she's like, hey, we can go ahead and blow this up. Beverly stays inside.
Beverly doesn't do shit.
But Svenna goes up there and she tries to blow up the train thing, but that's when the door locks on the front of the engine, so she can't get out, so she just does get exploded. This stops the train not even one iota. It is not even slowed down, so it plows through the train, the other train that is on the tracks. And then
it decides it's done.
It's at this point that, yeah, it loses all steam at that point. And that's when the creepy villagers come out and are click-clacking their little rocks together, and that's when we had to mute it, because we could not handle it anymore. Well, this entire time, the flute player guy has been playing there, and then that's when he takes his little hood off, and
he's beautiful.
He's so pretty.
He's beautiful.
He's Richard Grieco.
He's a beautiful man.
Glorious.
I thought he was Satan.
Same here. I thought he was Satan, but Satan isn't there yet. Satan is still in the box, and we have to get to the box. That's when Svensson shows up on a carriage, because they're probably only about 5 feet from the village again, because the train took them all the way back around.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks up the newly bedecked Bev, who is wearing this goofball, like, it wants to be the girl from Legends dress, but they were like, no, we can't get something that nice, let's go ahead and just get her this weird, like, Catwoman suit from... the Hot Topic, and like put like gauze in the middle part of it.
It was bad.
You can even see the whole point was to show off her birthmark, but we didn't get to see that because half of it's being covered by the thing, and then the other is behind
this.
She's
got like this big cloak looking thing with shoulder pads.
I'm telling you, it was supposed to be the girl from Legend.
Well,
they failed
miserably.
They absolutely failed. But they're still clicking those goddamn stones together, so we barely get to hear what's happening until Svensson gets her to go into the carriage with him.
Yes. And then she's like, all right, so we're going to do this shit.
And Svensson's like, yes, there are many perks to being the mother of a living god. and they are, yeah, they have a whole thing about it. This is when we get to the barn that we had seen earlier with Svensson and the giant cube. They built this like platform for her to get up on top. She gets on this, like, mobile platform that is, like, even, like, further away. But it's like, a mile away from that goddamn cube.
It really is.
And, like, they have to walk it forward in front of all these people wearing pancake makeup with eyeshadow on.
I guess
on.
It's the equivalent of getting married.
I guess.
Walk down the aisle. But she didn't walk so much as ride this weird thing.
Maybe it was a different kind of wedding. I don't know. Just...
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. But they end up sitting next to the cube. Out of the cube starts to raise something. The old witch lady, blind witch lady, walks up and she puts her hand up the girl's, you know, bits again to feel them out. And oh my god, this is a bad face! And the one hard-coded subtitle in this entire goddamn movie with all these people speaking friggin' Serbian is, she's not a virgin.
And she screams it. Oh. And everyone panics. And Satan, who just popped up, who looks like a weird mixture between a... What's that Rex movie? Oh my God, what's it called? Something Rex.
Theodore Rex?
It was like Clive Barker. Was it Clive Barker who did it? Oh man. Anyways, he looked like some weird fucking thing.
He looked like Baraka with like weird Nosferatu hands.
What is that movie called? I think is it English or something? And there's like
Rawhead Rex.
Yes. That is what it reminded me of.
He had the long fingernails, though. That was the part that I didn't
like. Well, The face looked like Rawhead Rex.
Look at my fingies.
Yeah, it was weird.
And that's when Svensson just melts. He gets microwaved, I guess.
Yeah, he's just the
years catch up to him. He also, one guy dies because he fell over, and like I think people actually trampled him.
Could be.
Because there was that one body that was sitting there and he's like on the ground and like everybody else is way the hell away from him, and Svensson like walks past him, and I'm like, I think that guy died. I think he's knocked the fuck out because people just actually trampled his ass.
Who knows? And I can't even imagine the amount of injuries that happened on the set of this movie.
Svensson dies, the cube is still there, Bev is still there, but thankfully Beverly jump cuts to the Yugoslavian airport.
She wakes up, though. She wakes up the next morning, and everyone's... And then there's, like, that one random dude who's laying there. But she wakes up in the morning.
She doesn't wake up. That's not the morning. That's
it's daytime.
Yeah, it was all daytime.
Was it night for day?
It was just all daytime. Like, after Svensson gets her into the thing, it was all daytime.
Oh.
They were just... It was dark inside of the thing. That was the problem.
Oh, okay.
So they're dark inside of the barn that they were in, because that was all they could do. It was the barn. And, then, of course, it was a really short barn, and then it was a really long barn. She's just standing there as like everything kind of dies down. The cube is behind her. She's standing on top of that plinth, and I don't know how the hell she got down.
I guess months have passed, though, right? So yeah, because the
she's leaving Yugoslavia. She's getting the hell out of there.
But for the passport, though, he was like, "How old is this? 3 months? Oh man, you need to get a new picture."
I think the whole point of that was the fact that she looks pretty now. Like, because she's no longer the frumpy version of her because she got laid.
I guess. She still looks the same. Well, but we do find out, though, that the person who she slept with was not actually, you know, Satan.
No,
it was a monk.
11th century monk who survived to, I guess, bang her.
Who is actually, made into a saint. So this saint came back to, get his groove on.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It worked.
He did save the world.
It worked. Is it, you know, if Satan needs a virgin bride and, you know, a pious man plows that field.
Which makes no sense. How is Satan going to be like, sex, but I want a virgin?
Because Satan has very... if you start trying to...
It doesn't make sense,
at
right?
This point,
it doesn't make sense.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. It doesn't make sense.
It should be a bicorn situation where, like, unicorns, they won't go toward anybody who's not a virgin, and bicorns will immediately attack anybody who is a virgin. So it really should be, like, you need to get, a train run through you, and thankfully we have the train.
Oh.
So after that, you'll be suitable for Satan's,
Lucifer. Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I guess he's, like, maybe he's just a weird stickler. That's how... It's like, no, I won't have sex with her if she's been run through. I don't need that. I am the Lord of Light. I don't need this crap. And he's, maybe that's what it was. It's like, they said she was a virgin on her Tinder app. Oh.
Oh, no.
And he just like swiped the other side with those giant long fingers of him. And we get to see this as the monk is like standing there waving to her like a force ghost. Off to the side. It was odd.
He's like, hi. It was weird.
We then have an Event Horizon style jump scare for no reason.
Don't you dare compare
this. Oh yeah, no, it's an Event Horizon jump scare because a hand rips through the plane that she's on through one of the windows and starts grabbing her, and then she immediately wakes up. She's sad and wants to go home. I guess stewardess looks at her and is like smiling like that's cute or something
that
like that.
Weird.
And then it freeze frames and we're done.
Yeah.
And
what
it was fun.
What are you going to rate it?
I'm going to give this a 5. I'm going to give this 5 model trains smashing into boats on somebody's, like, water puddle thing out of 10.
Oh, my God.
Because it's not the worst movie. There are parts where it really drags, but I think the inventiveness of a lot of things are hilarious. Who would have thought, you know, you're on a boat, and then there comes the train, like Jaws. Just comes out right as, oh no, just when you thought
with
it was...
classical music,
just
too.
Attacking you.
It's not even... Dun, dun, it's dun, 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 dun.
And if anything, it was kind of a proto Final Destination, where everything around the people is killing them, instead of just, you know, them getting killed by a slasher.
True.
I loved it. You know, there's a lot of stupid in the meantime, though. So that's why it gets a 5. But it's still not that bad to me. But what about you? What do you think, honey?
I'm actually going to give it a... I really don't like this movie. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10. We'll do 3 out of 10 maggot mouths.
Okay.
Because I had such a hard time with this movie. I had a hard time concentrating.
It dragged a lot, and the lack of subtitles really can add to it.
And the lack of a plot. Like, we had no idea why the hell they were still on the train after an hour and a half.
They were stuck on the train.
They could have jumped off. I would
have. The train wouldn't have stopped.
I would have
risked. The train would have turned around and detected them.
I would have risked.
It was like riding a tiger.
Oh,
you couldn't let go.
It was awful. It was just... It was.
I don't know. I get you.
There was a lot of funny deaths in this one. I will give you that.
Okay, thank you for that. What about you guys? Did you think this had enough funny deaths to warrant the price tag, or did you think it was just a little too wired? Let us know. Reach out to us, esat3am@gmail.com. It's going to be the best way to get a hold of us. You can also reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at esat3am, or go to our main page, esat3am.com, and then go ahead and click on the Leave Us a Voicemail link, where you can leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
But until next time, we will see y'all later.
Yep. Bye.